All right, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16. There's power in the name. John chapter 16, verse 23, 24. I'm going to talk about the name of Jesus. There's power in the name. And if you look, John 16, 23, 24, I'll read it in the New Living Translation, and then I'll read in the King James Version, and just to give you the two, versions of it. First of all, John 16, 23, 24, New Living. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant you your request because you use my name. Verse 24, you haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. King James Version says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. For verily, verily I say unto you that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto, or up until now, you have asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. And tonight I want to just share with you a few minutes about this idea. Not understanding the power of the name of Jesus diminishes your faith and the effectiveness of using your faith. And we all need to understand the power of the name of Jesus. Not understanding his name, of course, will hinder your faith in the battles of life. There is power in the name of Jesus, as we mentioned. We use his name in everyday use. We use his name in prayer. We use it for healing. We use it for coming against the devil. We use it for receiving everything from heaven. The key to receiving, as Jesus explains to us, is using that name. And his name authorizes whatever we need from heaven. His name as if he was there himself. So his name, when we use his name, it represents him and all that he is. So Colossians 3:17 says, the King James says, whatsoever you shall do, you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God by him. Giving thanks to God. So when we say, Lord, you lift up your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's what you're doing. You lift up your name and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a scripture here that's similar to that over in the Hebrews chapter 15, I believe it's, or it says that we give thanks to the name of Jesus, everything to him in the name of Jesus. We give him praise. And so in everyday life, in everyday battles of life, the scripture tells us, in combat against the enemy, we use the name. God gave us the right to use a name. We have the privilege of using that name over all the power of the enemy. And we have his name to use when we pray or demand from the devil to leave us alone or to back off using that name. So we use the name to demand from the devil. We don't demand from God, we demand from the devil. And notice over here, Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 17 to 19, the King James says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. Or the word there, that word power is the Greek word, I believe is exousia, which means authority. I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. That word, the second word is power, is actually the word ability. Over all the enemy. Nothing shall by enemies hurt you. I like that. Nothing shall hurt you in the name. So we have protection in the name as well. And so we thank God for that protection. And Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus gave us authority when he left. He says that we are to use his name and to battle all the enemy. He says, John 16, 17, in my name they shall cast out devils. You know, we can use a name to cast out devils. Notice over here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, verse 9 and 11, the King James says, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and to 11, the King James. So we have the ability, the right, the privilege to use the name of Jesus when we're exercising authority over the enemy. As I mentioned earlier, John 16, let's go ahead and read verse 17, 18, the King James says, and these signs shall follow them in my name. One version says, and these signs will accompany those that believe in my name. In my name they shall cast out devils. We thank God that we can use that name to cast devils out. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. These are the signs. Using the name, speaking in tongues is a sign. And they shall take up serpents. That's the protection from the enemy. And if they drink any deadly thing, that's if you go to someone's house and they're having something that's not good, or poison or something. And if you make bad tea, you could drink something and it will not hurt you. You could claim immunity from any kind of poison. Especially, you should always pray over everything and claim. I always claim that anything I drink, everything I eat is blessed. You don't have to be religious over it and tell everybody you're praying. Listen, everybody in the restaurant, I'm praying in the name. I mean, they think you're crazy. But you can pray over your stuff or speak over it and say, thank God for this food. I'm going to eat it in the name of Jesus. So, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You can claim emergency, or at least claim that you're not going to have any kind of emergency. They shall lay hands on the sick. That's a sign. What will happen if you lay hands on the sick? It's that they will recover. He didn't say they'll instantly get well, but they'll recover. Recover is a process. So sometimes we think this guy, somebody laid hands on him. How do you feel? Well, I didn't feel anything. What difference does it make? We're not talking about feelings. We're talking about exercising our faith. Faith has nothing to do with feelings. If you feel the power, whether you feel the power or not, whether you fell down, whether you jump up in the air, if you cried, shout, it don't matter. All that stuff is just nothing compared to faith. Just believe God in the name of Jesus. Amen? Say, thank God for the name. Is it your name? The government's name? Whose name is it? Faith City Church? No? Your whatever name, no? It's the name of Jesus. So Jesus gave the church the authority to use the name in battles against the enemy. The name is the key. Right? It's the key for the blessings that unlocks the doors. The key. You have a car key. You have a car key, I guess. So it causes your car to start going, right? If you didn't have that key, you wouldn't go anywhere. You ever left your key at home and you got to your car and you couldn't leave because you didn't have the key? I've done that a number of times. I said, I guess I got to go get the key. So next time you come up against evil spirits or something, remember the key, right? You can't just say, well, you know, I think we'll just exercise the devil here, but you have to use the name. Remember the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, where they're trying to use the name of Jesus? But that name didn't belong to them. They were not believers. They just said, I'm going to use that name that Paul uses. And that demon overcame them. So don't be overcome by that. Devils have to leave, right? The disciples used that name when they were sent out on missions. Look it over here. We're still talking about the authority, the name. John chapter 14. Let's give you, is it John chapter 14 here? No, it's Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse, let's see what it says here. Okay. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 and 19, King James. And the 70 returned again. This is not the 12 apostles. These are 70 disciples that Jesus sent after he sent out the 12. So he sent out 70 more using the name. He said, and 70 returned again, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us to thy name. And he said unto them, behold, I saw Satan falling from heaven. Behold, I give you power. We read that on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. How much power? All the power of the enemy. Who's the enemy? Satan or the devil. And nothing shall hurt you. So when you're going out, use a name. You claim, you know, power over the enemy, but also you claim protection over the enemy. Yeah. And so that's what I do every day. I say, thank you, Lord. I thank God for that protection, right? So John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, let's read the New Living. Again, we read this. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, how many of you believe in Jesus? Said yes. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works, right, that I have done. And even greater works, because I go to my Father. You can demand, or you can ask. The word ask there is demand. He's not talking about prayer here. He's talking about demanding. He said this again in another section, but he's not asking. He's not saying demanding. He says asking. So whatever you ask, or the actual word is demand, in my name, I'll do it. So that the Father will be glorified. He's not talking about demanding from him. He's talking about demanding from the evil spirits. Because you're doing the works of Jesus. He says, so you can bring glory to the Father. Verse 14, you shall ask anything in my name and I'll do it. That's pretty good, isn't it? The key is using the name. But a lot of people don't think about it because, see, it hinders them. They never think about it ever because they were not taught about it. They never thought about the name of Jesus. And so it didn't do them any good. It's like, you know, people use the name of Jesus like a rabbit's foot. Good luck charm, you know, whatever it is, right? Wishbone. No, the name of Jesus is not a wishbone. It's not a good luck charm, right? So we use the name of Jesus. He gave us the name. So he's not referring to prayer here. He's referring to demanding of the enemy who lives here too. You know, the enemy is living next door. He lives next door to you. He's watching you, and he's seeing what you're doing. You know, it's incredible. I was praying today, and I was just thinking about this, that God knows your thoughts. He knows your thoughts. God knows not only your thoughts, but every single person in the whole world, he knows their thoughts. That's incredible to think about. That blows out your sockets. Right? To know that God knows every single thought that everybody has. Not only that, but he knows even the thoughts you say before. The scripture says that. So the following example here, we're going to see, is an application of using the name of Jesus when it comes to healing. We can use the name against the works of Satan and darkness. Over here didn't cause that man to be sick in the first place and then heal him through his name. No, the devil caused the person's sickness. We know that all sickness originates from the evil, the devil. You know, it might not be a devil there. It could be a cause of it. It's all evil anyway, all sin. And the devil did it. And he's causing people a lot of pain, a lot of problems in this world. And so God gave us the name. Let's go over here to Acts chapter 3. And let's read several verses of scripture. Now, this is using the name of Jesus when it comes to healing. And so Peter and John, John chapter 3, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. So here's someone who was born like this. He was born a cripple. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, one of the called beautiful gate, so he could be begged from the people going to the temple. Now, sometimes I see people begging in the Thunder Bay at the different mall openings and going in there, or if you go to Timmy's, you'll see sometimes the same guys there. Sometimes I give them something. I see other people giving them. But this is the same kind of idea. This guy was bumming there at the temple. You'll always see people begging in this world. So when Peter and John saw the man, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. And Peter and John looked intently, and Peter said, "Look on us." And the man looked on them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver and gold, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." In other words, he says, you go and make your own money. You don't want to give him free cash. Right? And Peter took the lame man by the right hand and started shoving him around. No, he didn't. He helped him up. Right? He helped him up. And as the man did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. Wow, that's power. He jumped up, stood upon his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. And all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar that had been so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. And all rushed out in amazement and Solomon's colonnade where the man was holding tightly unto Peter and John. Peter saw an opportunity and addressed the crowd. He said, "People of Israel," he said, "why are you so surprised about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power and godliness? For it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. And this is the same Jesus." Everybody said, "This same Jesus." Is he the same Jesus? Yes. You know, the Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, right? He says, "This same Jesus, whom you handed over to the and rejected before Pilate, and despite Pilate's decision to release him, you rejected the holy, righteous one, and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him up from the dead, and we are witnesses of that fact." Verse 16 notices, "Through faith in the name of Jesus." See, we have to have faith in the name, or start hearing about what his name can do. Faith in his name, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 16. Here we see that Peter and John use the name of Jesus because prior to that, Jesus had told them in the 14 and 16 chapters, he says, you'll ask me using my name. You'll ask the Father in my name, he'll do it. And whatever you demand in my name, I'll do it. And so if you notice, except for one area in the book of Acts, you never see them praying to God. They just went around demanding in the name of Jesus. And we'll see that one incident where Paul used the name in prayer. Most of them didn't use the name in prayer. They demanded that something should be done because they were demanding of the enemy, not God. So they used the name, demanding healing, not from God, but from the devil's grip, as Jesus promised him earlier. There's no other name, the Bible says, whereby we might get saved or have salvation. The Bible says there's no other name to bring salvation. Salvation is an all-inclusive word, we'll see later, that includes healing, the salvation itself, and also refers to deliverance, healing, or success and prosperity comes from that, the name of Jesus. Let's go over here and see a little further. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. While Peter and John speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. Somebody said that, why do you call these people Sadducees? Somebody said, well, because they were sad, you see. They didn't have the same power of the name of Jesus. Okay? So they were sad, you see. Okay, verse 2. The leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people through the name, through Jesus, in the resurrection. They arrested them, and since it was evening, they put them in jail until the morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now were a total of about 5,000. That's a lot of people. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of the religious law met them in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, along with Caiaphas, John Alexander, and their other relatives of the high priest. They brought the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of and elders of our people, we are being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man. You know, he's arguing here on behalf of that. Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to you all and all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the man you crucified, by whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Verse 12, I was mentioning earlier. There is salvation and no one else. That word salvation just doesn't mean being born again or being saved. That word also refers to, if you look in the original language, it means having victory. It means having all your needs met. It means deliverance from evil or evil situations. It means, of course, being saved and being healed. That word salvation is an all-inclusive word. That means all those things that you need in life. There's no salvation in anyone else. That God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So we can use that name in our combat with the enemy every day. But we also can use it in our prayer time. And you go into prayer, you ask God something, you just use the name of Jesus. You don't just use the name of Jesus as a punctuation. Well, you stop your praying, you just use that name. You punctuate it or just stop it and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking in the name. That's the key for your prayer to work. Matthew 18, 19, and 20, the King James says, and again I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, what does it cover? It covers anything. How many people do you need to answer your prayer? Do you need all the Facebook friends? Did he say all the professional pastors and the most anointed pastors? No, it doesn't work like that. It works by the name of everyone has a right to use the name. You don't have to call Tulsa. You don't have to call anyone on Facebook. You can do this yourself. You don't need a professional, right? But wait, do not use this at home. Be careful. It could damage. No, you can use the name yourself, right? So where how many people? Verse 20, it says, where two or three gathered together in my name. People can say, well, see, it's a small meeting, so Jesus is here. Well, no, it means more than that. When he says, where two or three gathered in my name, He says, I am there in the midst of them to make sure this happens. That's what he's talking about. He didn't say, well, even if you have a small meeting, I'll still be there. It makes you feel good, right? Well, there's nobody showed up tonight. Well, the three of us, well, let's just use the name. He's still here. Well, that's not what it means. It means that if you two people pray together about anything and ask anything that's anything according to the scriptures, I'll make sure it happens. I'll make sure it happens. So we have to agree. So if you come up for prayer and I lay hands on you and say, did you get healed? They say, well, I hope so. Well, it didn't happen. Because if one's believing, one's hoping, then there's no agreement, right? So we have to believe. No matter how we feel, what the doctor said, some people say, well, somebody was astounded last time and they said to me, I was astounded, Pastor. You said something there. He said, somebody said, pray that I'm going to see the doctor next week or 2 weeks from now. Pray that I'll get a good report. Well, I can't pray that. You want him to change? You want me to supernaturally change that? Well, no. If he gave an x-ray or something and they saw something, he's not going to erase it. He's going to tell you what he saw, right? And it doesn't matter what he saw. He's going to, if you believe, right? We just have to believe that no matter what it is, what the doctor's report is, we're going to believe the report of the Lord, right? That's what it's talking about. So again, I say to you again, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven, for where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them to make it happen. So we use that prayer. We could use it in the prayer of agreement, the two people, or we can use it in single by ourselves in our prayer. Jesus said we could use his name as if he was there himself to verify that you get what you ask for. His name represents himself, much like, say if you say, here, Pastor, can you take my credit card and go to the store and buy this? And he uses it, and he buys gas along the way. But he got it because he's like, it was me because of my credit card, right? So that's how it is. God gives you the name, and he wrote a script. He wrote those scripture verses for us. And everything in there belongs to him, but if you just use that name for that, you're going to get it, whatever it is. So, let's see here about praying about a man by the name of Paul in Acts chapter 28, verses 1 to 9, the New Living Translation. Here's a story that represents what we're talking about, using the name of Jesus in prayer for healing and demanding that someone be well. And so here's an account. Verse 1. Once we were safe on the shore, that's when they were having this huge, remember this black storm they were for how many days? There were weeks. I don't know how long it was. It was a long time anyway. So how many people know when it's having a bad time seems like a long time, right? So 1 day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like 1 day. So it's a long trouble. So verse 1 again. Once we were safe on the shore, so they just escaped ashore. Isn't it like how the devil is? You escape one problem into another situation, right? Paul and those guys escaped this huge storm at sea for many days, being tossed around and being sick. They were throwing up and people crying and yelling and screaming. They couldn't cook anything. They were hungry, you know? I mean, just alone, not eating alone, being tossed around is like bad. I mean, by the time it's all over, you're hangry, right? You want to cut off everybody's head? And I guess they were. So they escaped. They escaped it because God says, I'm going to save you. All the people there, but not your stuff. You can lose your stuff. So they came ashore and met the people there. The King James said, who showed us no little kindness. Well, I didn't understand that. I looked at another version. It says, oh, treated us so well. Right? Showed no little kindness. I never say that. Do you? So in Acts chapter 28, it says, once we were safe at shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people there were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy. So they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people on the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt, though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. So they had a little understanding, spiritual idea, that a murderer will not live. If you escape one thing, you're going to die anyway. That's what they thought. But notice about Paul and a believer, you can claim immunity. And we've heard stories of people at Rhema who went to, Brother Hagin told us a story about one was who bit with a poisonous snake. They thought the person would die, just like this, and never died, because they had immunity. They had the COVID shot, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? And then they had that in their blood system because of Jesus. You can claim divine health. Divine health is a whole lot better than divine healing. Thank God for immunity. We can claim that. The Bible says he'll take sickness away from the misery and nothing will harm you. There are scriptures like that. Thank God we can claim that, right? So thank God for healing, but divine healing is better. So, as I was saying, he escapes the sea. He comes over there and a snake bites him. That'd be like the devil, right? You know, you escape one thing and all of a sudden another trouble starts. But thank God, Jesus, God, will, he'll deliver you over and over again. Not just one time. The devil tells you, oh, let me tell you, that's the last time he'll do it. I know you were in trouble before financially. I don't know why I said financially, but if you were in trouble financially one time, no. There's no way, you know. People say, Pastor knows something about his finances. Don't think about that. The guy's rich, man. Anyway. What was I saying anyway? Anyway. We'll come back to that after. May the Lord help me. Push me up. He was praying. Anyway, let's go back to the story here. So the people of the island saw the snake hanging from his hand and said to each other, no doubt a murderer, he escaped the sea. Justice will not permit him to live. But Paul shook off the snake to the fire and was unharmed. That's pretty good. What would you do? Scream, running down all over the island. Just to see a snake, just to think of a snake, makes you run around. The people waited for him to swell up and suddenly drop dead. But when they waited for a long time, they saw he wasn't harmed. They changed their minds and decided he was a god. Seemed like these guys got all kinds of beliefs. That's how people are. That they say one thing, next thing you're a good guy, next thing you're a bad guy. Right? You're a murderer. No. He's a god. Huh? If you watch Facebook, that's how your life is. Right? One day you're, oh, he's like, man, this is great. Huh? Marner is great. Next thing you want to kill him. You Leaf fans. Huh? Anyway, we won't talk about that. Near the shore, he was a god. Near the shore where they had landed was an estate belonging to Publius, a chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, Publius' father was ill with a fever, dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, laying his hands on him and healed him. Here we see prayer, we see laying on of hands, and we see healing. Those are all teachings from the Bible. And we see here in this verse of Scripture that Paul prayed for healing. It's the only time you see this in the book of Acts where they prayed. All the other times they demanded in the name of Jesus to be healed. So you could either pray. Demand yourself to be well. Tell yourself if you have sickness, I demand my body. It belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. It's in the covenant. It's mine. I have it. No, I don't have to have anybody lay hands on me. I don't have to have an intercessory prayer. I believe according to the word of God. The Bible says, Deuteronomy 28, verse 61, every sickness and every disease is a curse of law. But thank God, Galatians 3:13 says, I'm redeemed from the curse of law. Therefore, I do not have sickness. I will not die of the sickness. I will not have the sickness. You know, I was listening to, I was watching that Jerry Savelle. You know, he passed away, a man of God. I don't know how old he was, 73 or something, in the 70s. How many of you know who I'm talking about? No? He passed away, and he died. He had some things happen to him over the years there, not too long ago. But his wife came on at the end of the program or somewhere along the line and says, you're probably wondering why he died. Then she went on to explain, sometimes give you some extra things. So she wants you to know that healing belongs to you. It wasn't because he was sick that, you know, that the healing didn't belong to him. But he, you know, Brother Hagin talked about some things. He said the Lord told him that he had opened the door to the enemy through his own disobedience, like when he disobeyed God. You know, not obeying God, whether you read it in Scripture or hearing if the Spirit of God talking to you, you still disobey God when the Spirit talked to you. And if you didn't read it in the Bible, if the Spirit talked to you, then it's still disobedience. So I remember Brother Hagin said, the Lord said to him in prayer, so I want you to teach on faith. I want you to do prayer seminars. And I need you to teach on faith. And so he went around just teaching, and he didn't follow what the Lord told him. And so he was, Brother Hagin said he fell over one day. He was in a full gospel meeting, teaching the full gospel businessmen. He fell over. He had a heart attack, apparently, and he was about to die. And the Lord told his wife, who was working with the children's, he said, you better rush to the auditorium. Your husband there needs you. And so he was on the floor, and they were praying for him. And he says, the Lord told him. He said, remember I told you years ago, the healing is in your hands. Lay your hands on your chest by yourself and pray and demand yourself to be well. And the Lord said to him, the reason why you got sick is because you've been disobeying me. You know, he's at a different level. You know, like God... You know, if you're older in the Lord, the longer you stay with God, the less leeway you have. You know, if you're a kid in the Lord, you can do a lot of things to get away with it. But if you're older and you walk with God longer, he demands more from you. He wants you to obey him. And so I think that's what happened to the different ones, you know, who passed away. They didn't believe. Some didn't believe. They have a gift of healing, but they didn't exercise faith themselves. Because if you have a gift, God uses you in the ministry of healing. And if you just, if you didn't build faith yourself in healing, that gift's not going to heal you. You got to believe the scriptures yourself. And so a lot of confusion. That's why I wrote a book, and it's called Healing. So I actually have it, the first copy today, and thank God. Like some people tell you, well, why don't you just go heal everybody? That's not how it works. I wish it was, don't you? Just go ahead and heal anybody you want to, anytime, just turn it on. Go to the hospital. Well, Jesus didn't do the same thing. He went, and there's a lot of times he left people sick as he walked away. So thank God for healing. So we see people there getting healed. So not knowing... not knowing about the name can hinder you, and it can affect your life. So I was thinking about another thing earlier. You know, a lot of things just disturbed me when I was a kid, or when I say kid, I'm saying when I was young in the Lord. Things that didn't happen, things that happened. Like when I was just early in the 80s, when I was just brand new in the Lord. And when Keith Green died, I don't know if you remember Keith Green. Keith Green was a famous Christian singer, rock singer. He was actually went to Hollywood to become famous, and then he got somehow born again. I'm not sure it's told story, but he was very famous and did a lot of concerts, Christian concerts, good songwriter. We all loved him. And then he died. And we were all devastated. Why would God take a man that young as a Christian artist, and he died, you know? And different ones, things like that used to bother me because I didn't understand spiritual things. It was all mystical to me because whatever you don't understand, you're afraid of. And so I started to understand different things as I got older and wonder why. And I thank God for insight that you receive from older people who've gone ahead and they've seen things and they learn things and they pass on to you. Sometimes God wouldn't tell you different things. Like I remember Brother Hagin talking about praying for his mom. And he said, you know, we don't realize how much power we actually have until we start to use that power. He demanded that his mom be well. The Lord said to him, okay, if you ask me, I'll do it. I said in my word, if you ask me anything, I'll do it. So he said, I want my mom to live at least. Lord, you promised us 70 or 80 years at least. So, Lord, I want to believe for my mother. She's sick. I believe that she could live at least 80. So she died. She's at 80, and she died. And then he said he couldn't do it for other people that he prayed for. And he was devastated. Why couldn't I pray for this person? They're young. Why did they die? And the Lord said to him, didn't you ever read in my word, Deuteronomy 29:29? Secret things belong to the Lord. Some things revealed to you are revealed to you. They belong to you. Whatever I reveal in the Bible, it belongs to you. But things, he said, it's between me and them. And I remember, when my brother died, he was 52 years old, and he came to ask me for prayer, but the Lord spoke to me. I heard the Lord spoke to me. He said, don't pray for me. He's not going to live. And I said, well, why? Why is he not going to live? Healing belongs to all of us. He said, well, I've been dealing with him for a long time, and you've been dealing with him for a long time, time after time. And it's better for him to go. So he went home earlier. Sometimes we don't always understand everything, and we judge things by what we learn from our culture, our society, our own personal experiences, and we know things through that. But there's more information than that, you know. And so I remember at one point, I remember listening to Benny Hinn. You and I were at that conference one time, and he said that one Sunday morning, he fell over and he had a heart attack. Took him to the hospital. He said he had a bleeding heart valve. And he said, I'm in the hospital. I'm laying in the hospital. He said, I heard footsteps coming. And then here's Jesus. He walks in my room. He said, I told you what to do before, and you disobeyed me, and you opened the door here for the enemy to attack you. If you would obey me, you know, this is going to happen. He gave him a word of knowledge, and he was able to follow it. And different things like that we see in our lives. But, you know, you don't have to be. Like, somebody like that has a huge impact in life and ministry. They're more responsible than you. And so, but you still have to obey, and that's why we get into trouble sometimes. So we blame God, and we blame the devil. We blame everybody else, but we need to take responsibility. So here we can say this. We need to take the responsibility of making our faith work by using the name of Jesus and appropriately. Praise God. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. Let's go ahead and stand together as we close this session. Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus. The name which is above every name. And so we thank you for the key that unlocks heaven's blessings to us, and the power of the name that will drive out sickness, will drive out evil spirits. We don't have to feel anything or see anything. We just know it works because you said it's going to work. And so we exercise our faith, and we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings in the Bible that said, it belongs to me. And so we can exercise faith in that name by saying, it belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. And we can correct situations that are coming against us because the enemy has been attacking us through people, through circumstances, or in our minds. We can say, in the name of Jesus, you leave my thoughts. And we command the enemies that is working through people against me. We command those enemies that try to intimidate us, try to make us small, try to make us insignificant, who make us fearful. We come against those in the name of Jesus. We break the power of the enemy. The Bible says nothing shall by any means hurt us. He said that no weapon formed against us will prosper, will have victory over us. As I remember today in your word, you said that when King Sennacherib attacked Judah and they were taunting the Israelites by saying, what God is going to save you from my power? And the enemy keeps taunting and taunting, taunting people, saying, it'll never work. This is the last time. But no, he's lying. He's a liar. We command him in the name of Jesus to desist his maneuvers against us. We command you to get your hands off us. Get your hands off the church here. Get your hands off every person, every boy, every girl, every man, woman, every family, every business. We command you to desist your maneuvers. Stop right now in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Thank you. Command sickness to go, demons to flee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for that name above every name, the name of Jesus. We're so thankful for that name. Thank you, Lord. Demons will flee. Sickness will flee. Circumstances will come in line in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.